This is part two of our episode on marriage. If you didn't listen to part one, I'd recommend you go back and listen to the conversation with Dustin. In part two, we're going to hear from couples in different ages and stages of life. Let's start with Mark and Denise. They've been married 43 years, and Mark is one of the pastors on staff at Faith Chapel and helps lead the I Do Marriage Ministry. They've been an encouragement to my marriage personally, and I'm grateful to have them share their unique perspective. So, can you guys tell me just a little bit about yourselves? We've got Mark and Denise, and you guys tell me about your kids. Tell me about how long you guys have been married, your current season of life. Give us a little bit of background on you.
Well, it's interesting. Well, first of all, Denise and I knew each other in eighth grade, and we were just kind of pals. She was the consultant between my girlfriend and me. She was my girlfriend's best friend. But we were great pals. At the end of that year, she moved away, and we kind of kept in touch with a letter a year. Back then, you had to write letters until we both came to Christ at separate points in our lives and then got back together when we were 20 and dated for a couple of years and then got married in 1977, if you can believe that. Yesterday was an interesting day. We had asked God to encourage us about some things regarding her being now a business owner, and he made that very specific and plugged in that number, 1977, into our ask for his encouragement. And so things like that happen in our marriage over the course of our married days. And so here we are, five kids later, mm-hmm. 10 grandkids, two are on the way.
Wow.
So we are in a really abundant phase of our lives.
That's awesome. What are some questions you guys are asking one another right now to be intentional in your marriage? How are you guys approaching this to make sure that you're still learning from one another, even after your length of marriage?
Yeah.
I think one of the things is we ask each other questions the beginning of the day. Obviously, we're in the same house, but we still have things we need to do. So asking, do you have a Zoom meeting today? Or, you know, all those things so that if he has something going on, I know I need to be quiet or out of the area, not walking behind him when he's on a Zoom meeting and vice versa. And so just giving each other that freedom to have to do what we need to do without feeling like, oh, I'm not a part or something like that. So, yeah. And that's helpful to kind of have it charted out, you know, at 2 o'clock, I have a Zoom meeting at 3:30. He's going to be on the phone with a guy who's having a meltdown. So,
yeah, that's really practical just to even talk through what does today look like on some level. So you've got some clear expectations for the day. I like that.
I think we're also trying to learn to ask each other, what do you need from me today?
Yeah.
Do you need encouragement? Do you need support? Do you need wisdom? Do you need prayer? Do you need understanding? Do you need containment, which is to carry me along without giving me a bunch of answers. So we're not really great at that, but learning it. I mean, I think marriage over the course of our days has taught us how to do that, but we're working on that part of it.
Yeah.
Even the idea of most of you know Mark, he's a half cup full. We were talking about that this morning. It's like the cup could be cracked, but he still sees it as half.
So, at least it holds something.
Right. Yeah. Even with that, all of a sudden I noticed he was just being irritable and not himself. And it was like, okay, so what is going on? And rather than take that on personally, like I've done something, I've offended him, I just kind of kept asking questions until finally we were able to get to the root of two things that help him to be fueled is working out. Well, you can't gym. And two, working in a yard. Well, we live on a third floor of an apartment right now. So those two things that really energize him, he's not able to do. So then just kind of talking together and, okay, so what can we do to replace that? So you can feel energized and fueled and ready to face the day. So talking about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What fuels me? What fuels him? Et cetera.
She was staring at me and she goes, are you okay? No.
Well, it takes him a while, though. It takes him a while to say, I'm not okay. He's kind of like, yeah. And so even that's like, okay, that doesn't even sound like you.
That's so great. I love that. What ended up coming from that, Mark? What did you decide to do? And I know that those are specific to you as far as, you know, landscaping and physical fitness, but I think that's true. A lot of people have to give up right now their normal routine of this is what fills my tank, or this is what energizes me, or this is my alone time. Those things are now very different. So how did you, and this is, again, it's specific to you, but what was, or maybe you haven't figured it out yet, but how are you going to be creative to fill your tank in that realm?
Yeah, both of us are learning that about each other. We have a different way of getting our tank filled. I was just listening to a Craig Rochelle podcast yesterday, and he was talking about there are things we need to do to fill our tank emotionally, spiritually, physically, and what's the other one? Mentally. Yeah. And so for him, it's working out. And that's the same for me. It's going to be different for Denise. But what we have discovered is, well, so sometimes I'll just say, I need to go take a walk. Do you mind if I go take a walk right now? In other words, I'm asking, do you need anything from me? If not, I'm going to go do this for me because I know this is what I need to fill my tank and get re-energized, recharged. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And so we're learning that about each other, about one another's rhythm. So it does us good to allow the other person to not only have permission to do that, but we encourage it because they will come back better. And then we're a better married partner as a result.
Right.
Yeah.
And for me, on my part, to give them the freedom to do that. It's like, yeah, just take the time you need and he'll come back and be much more pleasant to be around as well. So
part of that, what was driving me crazy, it was snow. Outside it's freezing cold. I don't like to be cold. I needed something physically, and I needed to go spend some time just talking it over with God. But I felt like, oh man, we just live in a box right now, and you're the one I'm staring at.
That's awesome. So that's a way that you guys have found to serve one another, to give each other that space. Are there other ways that you've discovered are helpful to serve one another in this new normal we're in?
Coffee. Oh yeah. Well, but he makes my coffee every morning, which is awesome. And yet I have to kind of check myself to not have it as an expectation. Walk out and where is it? You know, that but that is still just a special treat for him to. Yeah,
it's a fun adventure for me. I love to hear her stirring. I'm usually up earlier. That's just kind of been our whole marriage. I get up earlier, but I'll hear her stirring, and I'm thinking, "Oh man, I want to have her coffee sitting there waiting on her when she wakes up." So that's just kind of fun.
But the other thing I could do is after we had talked about, you know, what fuels him, and so we, with this warmer weather, we've gotten our bikes out, and we're just trying to go on a bike ride every day, and that. That just is energizing, even to me. I just feel like a little kid, like, woo, you know, it just feels good. And so to connect with him on that is great. And it's something we can do together. And then yet give him the freedom to go on a prayer walk that he just really needs to have that time to talk to the Lord and not feel offended that I'm not invited. But we could go on another walk anytime, I'm sure, and he'd let me go. So.
I like that. That's really cool. If you guys were to give couples advice right now, you guys have been married for longer than a lot of us. I mean, what is that? You said 77, so 43 years.
Yeah.
April 2nd.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Good.
Yeah.
You guys got married on April 2nd.
Yeah.
That's Cohen's birthday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so he just turned one, and you guys, while you guys were celebrating, that's awesome. I didn't connected that dot before. So 43 years, that's incredible. Congratulations. What advice would you give to couples who might find themselves less initiated in some of the streamlined communication? I think it takes so much practice to be able to take the freedoms you guys just talked about to even say, I need this right now. Or, you know, Denise to have that maturity to say, I'm going to let you go do that, even though it might be inconvenient for me. I'm going to let you because I know you're going to come back in a better place than you are now. That takes time to learn how to communicate all that and navigate. Or even, you know, there's sometimes codependency that happens where I feel like I need to fix your problem right now. Or even something like where we absorb the other person's bad mood, right? And sort of learn how to go, hey, you're in a crappy mood, but I'm not going to let you ruin my day because I'm loving whatever's happening right now. So my question would be, what advice would you give to couples who aren't as seasoned, who aren't in that space and able to communicate that? How do we get there? How have you guys learned to get there?
Yeah, we have five kids, four of them are married, and all the married kids have little people running around. And I find this fascinating that when we try to visit with them, bless their hearts, they're completely distracted from our conversation. They cannot be present because little people are snatching and grabbing at them. And and it's hilarious, and we can never really even finish a sentence hardly. And I know we were that way not too long ago. In that phase of life for a young family, in as much as they can do things together, it's wonderful. Our daughter in Loveland and her family, they've been using this COVID-19 lockdown time to remodel their backyard and turn it into a kids' playland. And so it's been a group activity. The kids are around while they're doing it, and they're benefiting from it. That's been a great thing.
And they're 1, 4, and 7. So they're not like teenagers that can be doing stuff, but they got to lay sod yesterday and you'd think the boys had done it. You know what I mean? They were so pumped. So they've done that well.
Yeah. And something I read in 1 Corinthians this week, Paul talks about let love be your highest aim. And then he talks about in the famous love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, we always think about love as kind, love as generous, it's not rude, it's not irritable, all those things. And that's true. But that chapter is talking about God, and that's who he is. He is that Paul is giving us a description of perfect love that comes from the Father. Well, in that, he says we are partial. We're imperfect and we're incomplete. That's the New Living Translation of those words. I love it. So that means I'm married to someone who's impartial, imperfect, incomplete. She's married to someone the same way. So in as much as love can be my highest aim, I want to come up underneath her with that. And I want to help maybe help her take another step toward being more complete, more perfect, less impartial. So in whatever capacity, if I can at least start with my mindset being that, then I can bring that to the table selflessly. Now, as a young family, then I think a dad would say, I want to be able to come up underneath her in some way today that will take some of the edge off of that. So I'm going to take the kids on a walk to the park and let her have some free time, and she can do her nails, she can take a bath, she can do whatever she wants. And if I could offer that to her, I might help her take another step toward being complete and less impartial.
That's great. So it simple, but on some level, just selflessness would be absolutely. How can I serve in this moment instead of meet my own needs? Yeah, that's good.
I think another thing is, you know, we've been enjoying cooking, but we've been just the two of us for a while. So we already have to go into a pattern. It's fun, et cetera. When I had five kids at home, it was slam a big meal together, you know, make something massive because they were all hungry and big eaters and it's chaotic. And so I think of this time, though, that these young families have that's in some ways a gift. If they can look at it that way, it's crazy, et cetera, but they're all at home. They all can sit down and eat together. They can start, you know, the mom and dad can start directing questions, getting to know their own kids better and their kids them, making it an adventure to cook. Maybe, you know, you have one child a night help the mom and he becomes the sous chef and he doesn't really know what he's doing and he hasn't cut the tomatoes up right or whatever, but he feels a part, and there's an ownership in that and an excitement. And you're imparting something in them for future. And hopefully when this is all over, people will continue doing that kind of thing and connecting with their kids. And I that's my prayer for young families in the midst of the chaos, which I totally get. I mean, my kids found me, well, my daughter found me one time hiding in the closet when she was like six. I just thought, if I just could get back in the closet just for 5 minutes, alone. And all of a sudden I hear this, Mom, Mom, and then a panic, Mom, and I'm like, oh, and then the door opens, and sort of like, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know what, I just needed a minute here. But, you know, I literally got about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But I understand that feeling of, I don't know if I can go anymore, but the Lord will sustain you.
Yeah. And what advice would you even give to couples who are in a similar stage as you guys right now, that they are empty nesters and are rediscovering their relationship, or maybe struggling to rediscover that relationship? And now this compressed time, this compressed isolation is maybe forcing some things out that they didn't know existed, or some rough waters. What would you say to somebody? What are you guys learning that might be helpful for others?
I think one thing is trying to find something that the two of you enjoy together.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's something you've never done before. Or maybe it's, I'm going to agree to learn to fish because you love to fish.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had the time because we had five kids. I think that's one thing that I would think of, just that connection. We need that connection time. And for me, to do something is more fun than to sit.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be different for someone else. It might be, let's read a book together. Mm-hmm. We read it out loud and mm-hmm. we connect and we talk about the book. We've done that before, like on road trips.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have one topic that you're both engrossed in, and it grows your relationship, and it's very much fun. The other thing I would say, and I don't know if this is part of your question, but when the young families are going through the chaoticness of raising kids, and like you said, each stage is unique and fun and different, I always want to encourage them to remember that it's the two parents who are going to end together.
Mm.
And don't forget that relationship in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't get so focused on your children that you neglect your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then when those children are gone, you're kind of like, yeah. Oh, wow, it's you. Yeah. What do I do with you?
Yeah.
So it's like, it starts a long time ago, and it's not that it can't be fixed if that didn't happen. It's just going to take time and work.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as possible for young couples to have a consistent date night, that's really important. Your little people get security from that because they recognize Mom, Dad love each other, and they're not going away. They're just going away for the night while we get pizza right here, and they're off and having their deal, but they're coming back and they're better and we're better. And that just breeds security for kids. I remember when I was a youth pastor, and we had four kids at that point. And then actually I was still youth pastor when we had a Joy. And I remember thinking, oh man, when our kids are out of the home, we're going to have more time to do ministry. But that was like a temptation. And I would have to convince myself, but wait a minute, they are our ministry. This is what's most important. So we would try to involve them in what we were doing with students. We'd bring our kids along. The students love them. They love the students, and they were learning and growing. Both were from each other. And I don't regret that for a second. Then when we experienced the empty nest scenario, we began to move into another phase of life where we're learning to listen for the purposes of each other's hearts, the mysteries that are in one another's hearts that we're never going to know fully, that God fully knows. But so that's the intrigue of the empty nest phase, is now we have more time to even focus on our marriage. But I think what's important in both phases, raising a young family or being empty nesters, is to learn the art and the joy of contentment and find adventure in the midst of both seasons.
Hmm. That's good. That's really good.
I think too, your children are never gone. I mean, we still think about them. We connect with the grandkids. I mean, it's a relationship that keeps getting bigger and bigger. It just is different. But the relationships you make now with your little one-year-old sets the foundation for the relationship you're going to have when he's 21 or 41.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's so all this that seems so hard right now with little children, there is a payoff in the future.
Absolutely.
You know, and so just like our relationship and the things you have to work through, it's all worth it in the long run when you realize this is a permanent thing. We're going to keep going, moving forward no matter what.
Next, we have Greg and Aaron. Greg served on the church council for several years, and both Greg and Aaron have been marriage mentors and communicators, doing whatever they can to help marriages thrive. My first question for you guys would be, as we've entered into this shelter at home, into a new season of isolation and also intimacy, how are you engaging with one another right now?
Go ahead.
I think that this is, it definitely has been a challenging season. I think at first it was kind of like, oh, this is so fun. We're all together as a family. And I get to see a lot more of Greg and he gets to see a lot more of me. But what we realized is that going on, like nothing's really changed in our life, wasn't going to work for us. We had to really get creative. And we had to have a little like very much be intentional. We had to be so intentional with what this is going to look like as far as our marriage, not only conversations, but how to get away time, you know, with four kids.
Yeah.
You don't have a minute.
Right.
It might have slowed down for some people, but those of us that have a lot of kids at the house, we don't get a conversation that's not interrupted. We don't get a moment to even have a kiss without four, you know, sets of eyes watching us.
Right.
So we had to learn new creative ways to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think because it was really almost by like day two, I was done with this.
Yeah.
You know, just kidding. I mean, seriously, it was like, well, we're going to have to do something different because these kids are everywhere. Aaron's tired. I spent one day, it was like two Fridays ago, where I actually stayed in the house and worked from here instead of going into the office, and having to watch how much effort she put into teaching that day gave me a totally different perspective on how much I needed to up my game and communicate more with her. And because she was, I mean, there was nothing left at the end of the day because she had just been like worked over by four kids. And so getting those guys into a routine was one thing. Getting us into a routine so that we would even be able to communicate about some things. So yeah, intimacy, for example. We got to a spot one day and she said, hey, don't want to throw out that line like you do sometimes in the intimacy class, but rolling over and going, hey, you awake, ain't gonna cut it right now.
Right.
You know? And I was like, oh, I did that. Yeah. I mean, I actually did that. And so, you know, so just like anything in a time of crisis, it is critically important that you communicate even more and give each other more grace during that communication than you would normally to. And I think those have been two things, grace and more communication.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's really good. Some follow-up questions. What does that look like with, you've got kids at home that used to be at school for much of the week. So are there any practical things that you've done to create boundaries for your marriage and your kids? Like, are there times throughout the day that you go, hey, nope, you go by yourself because mom and dad need some time. Like, are there anything like that? Any steps that you've taken to help protect the marriage since there are, you know, like you said, four extra set of eyes all the time?
Yeah, I think for us, we have the luxury because we have older kids. So we have teenagers, so we can, create space that's not inside our home for us still to spend time together. So where we just go get takeout and we sit in the car up at the rims, or we go to that little park across from Shields. And that's just kind of our downtime where we can just not have interruptions. So we've kind of had to be creative on some of our dates, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And typically our bedroom, I mean, if the door's shut, that's kind of like our kids know, like this is, we all have our private spaces in our house and our rooms are one of those. So we've probably been in our room more than normal.
Sure.
I mean, just because they are teenagers too, they do kind of get it and they desperately don't want us to explain it to them.
Right.
Hey, guess what? Mommy and Daddy need alone time.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, because then they're you know, they just right. Oh. But it is fun to just throw that out there, because then I tell you what, they are not going to come a knocking.
No, no. If that door's closed, they're not going to come. You know, 10-foot pole of that.
Nope.
That's hilarious. That's great. What does intentional look like? I love the idea of, you know, changing up date nights, you know, going to the park across from Shields or stuff like that. Are there any other practical intentional dates that you guys have found really helpful?
We just did it wasn't a date exactly, but we just took two of the kids up to the Zimmerman Park back nine over back behind Indian Cliffs. And we went and rode bikes and in the rain the other day. It was really great. Mm-hmm. And so great, in fact, that we decided tonight we're going to go ride around Two Moon Park, because we get to ride around our bikes all the time down at Riverfront, you know. So we're going to go up to Two Moon and then grab some pizza from McKinsey River and go sit up on the rims and have a pizza date, but do that, you know, as a family.
Cool.
And so I think some of the intentional things that we've done have been really family focused.
Yeah.
And that's been really good for us too. Especially to get to see the kids do things that they wouldn't maybe otherwise normally do. So we've been doing, Aaron started a thing where they're all cooking a night, and Ben cooked last night and wanted to make homemade fries. So he made the main course and I said, I'll help out with the fries. Oh, catastrophe. His main dish was fabulous. My fries, on the other hand, looked like some fair food experiment gone bad. I mean, it's just nasty.
Well, and I think one of the things that we talk about a lot in marriages, especially in, like, you know, classes that we take at church and stuff, are the five love languages. And Greg and I just literally had this conversation the other day, because he came home and he's like serving and he's helping, which is awesome. I needed it. But my love language is quality time. And so obviously that has been a huge, just like, we just haven't had quality time because we've had all the kids at home. So we had to have a real sit down and say, okay, what can quality time look like? That's how I'm going to feel loved. And he wants, you know, me to be able to rub his back or touch his hands or hold hands or do things like, you know, his is physical touch. So we kind of had to like relook at, well, I don't feel like touching you when I have no quality time. And I don't feel like giving you quality time when you're not giving me any physical touch. And you get really selfish and self-centered. So we literally had a whole like, okay, let's sit down. What do you need? What do I need? And how can we accomplish that? And so for us, I think just even quality time, like going for a walk, holding hands, taking the dogs, going, you know, going for a drive,
sitting in the hot tub together.
We love to sit in the hot tub and say, no kids. We're doing a no kids zone right now. We're sitting in the hot tub.
That's great. That's super helpful. On that note of needs, one of the things Alyssa and I have noticed is my job has shifted. And for the first several weeks, as we were adjusting, there was a lot of added stress and my schedule shifted massively for about 3 weeks. And so I'd get to the end of the day and I'm zapped. And then I come home and she's been home with two, you know, a 1-year-old and a toddler, and she's going, I'm zapped. And so we both felt guilty asking for personal time, or both felt guilty asking for anything from the other person. Mm. Have you guys found ways to communicate your needs in a new way in this time that allow for some of that to still happen? Because that's something we're even still figuring out, is how do we communicate our needs when we know the other person might be more strained?
I think that's that grace and space combination that, you know, you just need to. The alternative is stuffing it, and stuffing it always comes out. It comes out, unfortunately, too late in some way we wished it wouldn't have. But, you know, just the other day, I mean, it was, you know, Erin had said to me, she goes, you know, she stopped me and said, this just isn't really working for me. And this is why. And at first my instant reaction is, right, is this going to turn into a conflict? Or because my pride got a little hurt for a second. And then I was like, sure. Okay, but wait a minute. I got to give her some grace in this moment too. She's just being truthful and communicating with me about what her needs are.
Yeah.
And it turned into a really great conversation. So.
Yeah. And I think another thing is, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but I sure know that during this quarantine time, it's really brought up a lot of selfishness for myself. and what do I think my rights are? Like, I deserve to have 10 minutes of peace and quiet. Well, I don't. I mean, I want that, but you know what I mean? And so, I mean, it's definitely, I think the Lord has been working on me, just what does it really look like to serve your family and to serve your husband, even when I don't want to, or even when I'm tired, or even when, you know, I feel like somebody else should be stepping up to do their part. And it's hard. And it's really, I think, self-sacrifice of like putting self aside for a minute and going, okay, I'm going to really serve, try to serve well and with a good attitude. That's the hard part.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. We right now, every time Cohen wakes up in the middle of the night, it's that battle of, okay, who's feeling more tired? You know, how long do I pretend to be asleep? Can I get away with, you know, we're both, and we admit it the next day, like, hey, were you pretending? Yeah, I was pretending. I'm sorry. You know, so we talk about it, but that's the game right now. Like, two in the morning comes too many times. What are you guys doing to have fun together?
Cooking. I think we've been, there's been, you know, you think about all these meals we're having to do in our homes right now, because we're not going anywhere very often or bringing in takeout very often. And so, you know, there's been several times where we've been cooking all together, or a couple of us in the kitchen together, or doing dishes all together at the end of the evenings. And Aaron goes, gosh, I think I feel like I've unloaded that dishwasher 3 times today. Well, that's okay, because me and the kids, and we're going to do it. Last night I was like, every single pan, I mean, we used it yesterday. Yeah. And I mean, we had the dishes all done in like maybe 15 minutes. But while that was going on last night, we pulled out old music that, you know, my old quartet in high school used to sing.
Oh, cool.
And we were screaming and dancing around the kitchen at some of these dumb songs from the 90s. Oh, and
so funny.
It was hilarious. And after we were done, my son Luke just comes to me. He's like, Dad, that song, My Shoes, you got to check this song out, Jordan. My Shoes by the Bobs.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Okay, and dude, these guys are awful. Anyways, he just goes, I can't get it out of my head. It's so good. It's my new favorite. Awesome.
Yeah.
We've kind of done some fun dinner times. We've done theme dinners. We've done like dress up like superheroes, and you can't come downstairs unless you're dressed up like superheroes.
Oh,
or we're trying to just keep it like.
I dressed up like.
It was awful.
Black Widow.
No, I don't even know what it was.
It was Black Widow. That's what I was trying to go for.
How else are we having fun? Oh, you know what was fun?
Oh, porch.
Huh?
Lots of porch time.
Oh, yeah. We're on a porch every night.
Well, we're on the porch right now.
Singing. Yeah.
We put a fire pit out here, which we hadn't had before. And so we got some heat, and we're sitting on this thing. Last night we were out here singing until 10 o'clock and
cool.
It was just great.
Yeah.
I think for me, like having fun too is so Greg and I love like Enneagrams and like studying our personality types and all these different things. And I'm a 7, which is super adventure driven.
Right.
Always got an activity
I love
to go
planning. Like all of my, obviously all of my locations have been canceled.
She can't
and changed.
Plan anything right now.
No. Right. But when we went mountain biking, like I'm not a mountain biker, but I have 3 boys that are. And so I have to, you know, as a mom, you got to just try different things. And so, it was a little terrifying because it was raining and we're on like the rims with like rocks. And I mean, it was such an adventure for me. I forgot that I needed that.
Sure.
And so we're just trying things that we don't normally do.
I mean, the wind's blowing, it's cold, it starts raining. The boys are like, the little boys are going, this is awful. And she goes, this is not awful. It's an adventure.
Yeah.
And I needed it.
That's great. Awesome. That's so great. Well, guys, this has been super, super cool and super helpful. Before we end the conversation, is there any piece of advice that you would want to, just thinking of all the marriages that might be listening to this and all the people, obviously it's a wide spectrum, but is there any piece of advice or anything that you'd want to say? And if not, that's okay. But I just wanted to give you a moment. Is there anything you'd like to say to encourage marriages or to encourage couples in this time?
I think we probably have already said it, but Aaron said it probably better, and you can use that and cut and snip and whatever how you make it fancy and do that stuff. But the thing I appreciate right now is with this time, it's with any, you know, crisis, there's always an opportunity, right? You know, we never want to waste these things. And with these opportunities, the ability to learn to speak your spouse's love language mm-hmm. better is probably, this is one of the best opportunities you could have. And so really focusing on that, having those real conversations about, tell me what your needs are. Mm-hmm. I can tell you mine. And that's mm-hmm. what we tend to want to do, yeah. like Aaron said, but tell me what your needs are so that I can try to meet those, because, you know, we're just dumb people who, and we tend to forget real quick, even though yep. we might've been married for 20 years, I still need to know, oh, wait a minute, you would rather go on a mm-hmm. date. I'm gonna have to get real creative.
Right.
Because that's hard right now. So,
yeah.
I think part of this is like for us personally, this time is an extra gift. It's an extra gift with our daughter that's a senior that we aren't going to see much next year. And it's an mm-hmm. extra gift for us to get to spend time with each other because yeah. we feel like we have a marriage that we'd love to be together, but that's not the case for everybody. And we get that. Mm-hmm. And so I think even this morning, the kids and I were doing our quiet time and we were just praying and we were just worshiping and we're asking the Lord for pictures and just to hear him in different ways. And we all kind of had this picture of just like leaning into what God is like talking to us about in the season and like that listening. And so I just think for me, encouraging like other couples that if you get to lean in and just listen to your spouse right now and you have a marriage that's just exciting and fun for you, that's great. But if you don't and you're really struggling, maybe this is just a time where there's some distractions that are put away that you can really just lean in and ask the Lord, like, how are you going to meet me? How are you going to meet me in this time, in this space? How are you going to meet me in my marriage? Even when it doesn't feel like I want that or, you know, but, you know, just asking the Lord, like pushing in and leaning into what he has for us in this season. Cause I agree. I don't think there's anything to waste. And I think there's a lot of stuff that we normally fill our life with that is not there anymore. And it's a great time for us to like, just press into the presence of God and just listen.
And finally, we have Nate and Olivia. And as you'll hear, their story is in some ways just beginning. Their wedding was scheduled to happen right in the middle of all of this, and they ended up adjusting, and they share some of the impact that has had on their first month. Yeah, so why don't you guys real quickly tell us a little bit about your story, about how you got here, about even your adjustment in context of this pandemic and what that forced you guys. I guess it didn't force your hand, but you chose to embrace the situation in a unique way and move things around. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, we met in December of 2018 and, our story is kind of funny cause we just, both of us are very like slow, patient people, especially when it comes to relationships. Like we didn't want to jump in anything. We both had gotten out of kind of a hurtful, weird relationship before. And so we were definitely trying to take things slow. But then everything about our relationship just like was happened. Yeah, just like happened and was really perfect and we hit it off right away and dated for a year and a half before we got married. Mm-hmm. But leading up to the wedding, so I proposed in September of 2019 and we had made the plan to get married April 17th. So just 5 days ago. And really? Then, yeah, then all this stuff started happening.
Did you say rip? Yeah. All right. So
we were really excited. We were planning to get married outside and it ended up being like the most beautiful day that day too. So that was a little salt in the wound. But yeah, as the quarantine and as like COVID progressed, we both just had an icky feeling that it was going to either push things back or we were going to have to make the decision to push it forward so that the people that we loved could be there. And so we talked about doing it with 50 people because at the time 50 people was the restriction. Mm-hmm. And then the day after we talked about that, it got moved to like 10 people. And so we just decided to get married in the living room of a very big house.
Yeah.
With all of our immediate family. Because, you know, we just felt like one, we were ready to be married. The reason we had, you know, scheduled for April was so that all of her family from Australia could come. All of my family from around the US could make it seem like a good time, to travel. And then when we got to that point where it was like, I mean, what are we waiting for then? If nobody can make it except for our immediate family, let's do it mm-hmm. as soon as possible. And so, so we decided on March 22nd to get married with all of our immediate family. I think there was
12
people there.
You broke the rules.
We broke the rules.
We didn't count.
Oh, right. And, 10 people plus you. Right.
Plus yeah. us.
11 because we became one.
Touche. Well played.
So it was honestly beautiful the way it all worked out, and the fact that we were planning a pretty big wedding with about 200 people and it got changed to 12 was actually super intimate and really cool to just be able to experience it with the people that we do life with every day.
Not
to say like there weren't tears. I think I cried like every day that week until Thursday.
Yeah.
But then it did kind of turn into like a sweet, I don't know, Larissa kind of spoke to me and she was like, this is how it's meant to be. And you guys are going to get married. This is wedding week. And like, it's about you two. And everyone says your wedding is about you, but you kind of forget when you have a big wedding. But I think we got to embrace, like, it really was about us and like coming together before the Lord. So it became sweet, but I mean, I was pretty sad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite a shift. I mean, especially for you, Olivia. I mean, guys, we look forward to our wedding, but not in the same way. It's different. So Olivia, maybe talk about that a little bit. Like, what did you, whatever you're comfortable sharing, but what did you have to do to adjust to that? As far as expectations, emotions, all that.
I think I definitely like cried a ton. Like, I remember the week before, my mom had texted me and she was like, we just need to have a backup plan for April. And I was like, I was probably kind of mean. I was like, that's not going to happen. I'm having a wedding. I have 250 guests invited. Like, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And then it kind of came to then it was 50 people. And then the Monday before we got married, we were like, okay, we're going to get married on Sunday. I cried anytime someone brought it up.
Yeah.
I did not handle it well.
Yeah.
Oops. But I don't know. I think I was just looking forward to having those moments with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as it was going to be about us, I was excited to have 6 bridesmaids and I was excited to dance like with my dad and with Nate and have lots of food and be around a lot of people. Like, I'm introverted. I would say I probably don't love parties, but like, this is a party about us. Mm-hmm. So I was super excited. But then we still got to have pretty pictures. And it was funny, like the whole morning I was of our actual wedding, I was crabby and I was really short with people. And I just was like, I wanted it to be over.
Bridezilla.
Yeah, I was the worst. I was really good up until then. But the minute like Larissa took me outside to do our like first look, I was like Nate turned around and I was like, oh, I'm fine. It's okay. Like, then from then on, I was like joking and laughing and we had so much fun just like getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all worth it. I mean,
yeah,
people were safe and we got to be together. And
it was definitely, I think, an adjustment of expectation for both of us. Because originally, like when we first got engaged, I was the one who wanted a big wedding. Like, I was really excited to share that moment with.
That's true. I wanted to
with like all of our friends and family and everyone from the church, and we were just really. I was really excited to do that and just kind of like show everyone like this commitment that we're making and have everyone that I love so much be there. And then the closer we got to it, the more I kind of adjusted and was like, eloping would have been really cool. Like, a small wedding would be sweet. And she's like, nope, we made the plan. We're going to do this big wedding. Right. And it's going to be fun.
Don't change this on me right now. Yeah.
And then, COVID had its way, but no, it was really, perfectly imperfect. I think it was hard, because of like the numbers restriction and also, just to be safe. Neither of my siblings got to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a little bit difficult for me after the fact. You know, during all of it, I didn't really think about it, but after the fact, we got to talk about it, and it was a little tough. I mean, my Katie has a 3-month-old baby who's, you know, just to be a very protective parents, and we told them to, like, we hope you don't come because we want to keep him safe. But and then Carly not being able to travel, but it ended up being really cool. We had so much support from everybody, and we're really thankful. A lot of people have reached out and said, we're so proud of you, the way you handled this. And which is nice to hear, like, they didn't see all the tears behind the scenes, but, at the same time, I'm proud of Leah because she handled it well. I'm proud of just us as a married couple now, because looking back at it, it's still, you know,
traumatic.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's still the best, you know, the best decision I think we've ever made. It was,
oh yeah,
being married for a month now, it's been pretty fun.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. That's a lot. It's not an easy process to make, you know, that's something you look forward to for such a long time. And then to have those expectations shattered, that's a bummer. So thanks for sharing. I know that's not easy. With the adjustment first of the wedding and now where you guys are, if you don't mind sharing, what have been some obstacles early on in the first month, whatever you're comfortable sharing, but, you know, expectation versus reality, as far as when you first get married. I remember when Alyssa and I got married, like, there's kind of like, you're getting used to now, like, you dated and you had your social, and then you're married, and something just subtle changes in your social life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we were able to go be around people. And so now you guys, like, went from, you know, dating to married to you can only see each other's face, you know? And so what has that been like, for the past month?
I've liked it.
Really?
I like being home. I always want Nate to be home with me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been different. Like, for me, I like to keep things. I'm very particular about everything. I like to have, like, the house clean in a perfect way. And I don't know. I want things to be done in a specific way, but it's kind of hard when Nate is home all the time and I'm home and we're figuring out how to be together. And also we have a roommate, which is super fun because we get to be a little social. But I think above everything, it has been so awesome to just get to be home and not have to go out and not feel like we're spending our first month of marriage, like, showing off to people. Maybe that's the word. Like, being like, we're married.
And answering all the questions of, you know, just like, what's it like to be married? And it's like, well, we've only been married a couple of weeks. We don't, you know, like, we know, but
we're just home.
Yeah. I think it's been, the biggest adjustment obviously has been learning to live together. Like, we both grew up different ways, and, I mean, simple things like who makes the bed and when.
Live. You guys make the bed. Good job.
I make the bed every day.
Well done. We do too.
But, just like, even like, I lived in this house for a year before, she moved in, and, I remember, like, it was probably 3 weeks before our adjusted wedding date. I had moved to my parents so that she could move all her stuff in. And I would come over and be like, where is everything that I put when I moved in? So it was kind of nice, 'cause I got to adjust a little bit better that way, but learning to, just like be in our home now instead of my home or her home, and adjusting to, I mean, the way that we live our daily lives in and out. But it's also been a blessing to spend every day for the last month together, because I feel like we're learning some of the harder things you have to learn as a married couple as life goes on because of the busyness. But because we're stuck at home, I feel like we get to go through that pretty early on, which is good for us to learn.
Yeah, more of a compressed timeline.
Yep.
It's good though. It's fun.
Yeah. Good. What would you say, like, and you already kind of see it this way, so it's nice, but what are some unexpected benefits of the isolation? And, you know, you just spoke to one being maybe a compressed timeline of some of the harder lessons to learn of how to do life with a different human that's very different than you. But are there other benefits that you've noticed of the isolation?
Got a puppy.
Sure. That's sure. Fun. That is fun.
I feel like it's given us a lot of time to talk about things that take like 3 months maybe to talk about, like, or just like when you say, like, I'm going to pray about that and we're going to talk about it for a while. Like, we have 15 waking hours of the day to talk about it. And we just do. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of like conversations about the future and life and just like getting to download being married and like process it all. I feel like maybe would have taken us 6 months of like talking about it over dinner and like right before bed. But now we've just been like, well, good morning. What do you want to talk about today?
Sure. Yeah.
Which has been kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think too, being able to, again, just like have those conversations. And like when there were times when we were dating that we'd have an argument and you'd have to wait all day because you both worked all day. And you'd be thinking about it and dwelling on it all day. And then you'd come together. And sometimes it would resolve peacefully, but also like when you have fights, sometimes they last longer than a day or two. But now it's like, well, I have to spend the next who knows how long in quarantine with you. Like, so let's figure it out now. And sure. To not have the time to fester and to think about why you might be upset or bothered and just be able to talk about it straight away and pretty much like have to talk about it straight away because, like I said, we're quarantined together.
It's a small house.
It's a small house. And so there's been a couple of days like where it's like, all right, I'm going to spend my time downstairs working so that we can just like, otherwise we're just going to cut each other's heads off and be upset. But
we've
then
definitely been separated
for
a day.
But then it's nice to come, like, you know, you get that little bit of time to relax and then calm down and go talk about it. And, that's been like a very surprising factor because I think fighting as a couple and a dating couple and fighting as a married couple is obviously very different. Mm-hmm. And so learning to argue like peacefully because it's like, well, you can't go anywhere. So
you're here.
But
yeah,
making it a rule, like we made it a rule very, very early on, even in our dating relationship, but kind of reiterated as a married couple is I'm never going to go to bed angry with you. You know, the Bible obviously says that, but I'm never going to go to bed angry with you. And here's why. Like, and so there's been conversations where we had to stay up late and talk about things so that we weren't angry going to bed, but it's been like the best thing ever to wake up feeling resolved.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That's cool. I love that. Are there other ways that you've like been intentional or set up some maybe boundaries or structure to be intentional with each other? Because I think, you know, one of the things that can happen with close quarters or with even with marriage is like, there's almost, you almost can throw it into neutral a little bit and be like, oh, well, we're close. We live together now. We're together all the time. So we don't have to work at this. So the intentionality can shift. Are there other ways that you've made decisions early on to go, here's some areas that we're going to be intentional to make sure that it doesn't just turn into, oh, we spent 2 months in the house together, however long this lasts, or 3 months or 3 weeks, whatever. We didn't just spend it coasting and watching Netflix. You know, what are the some things that you've done to go, hey, we will do these elements, or we will talk about, you know, like you said, Liv, you said we're going to talk about future and talk about some of our dreams. That's awesome. So what are some other areas that you've put forth some intentionality?
I feel like Nate has been really good about keeping like dating a thing. I don't know if that's the right word, maybe surprises, sure. But
yeah,
Nate's been really good about like bringing in, he'll pick up a dinner if he went to the church and he's like, look, I brought us CJ's tonight.
Yep.
And just kind of keeping things like not so monotone of like, we're here every day, we're going to have chicken and rice for dinner. Like,
yeah,
he's been really good about doing dates. Like last night, Nate came upstairs from working on something. He's like, okay, we're going to go to DQ and get blizzards. I was like, that's exciting.
Yeah.
We didn't bring our phones. Like, we got to just go and little, it was 10 minutes, but like get fries and blizzards and still kind of decompress our day, even though we spent it together.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been fun to just leave our phones and like still be present with each other versus mm-hmm. like being present and having dinner with each other.
Right. Yeah.
I think
no, that's great.
One of our favorite things to do too is every night we cook and eat together mm-hmm. and we're intentional with like, I mean, who cooks what obviously, but hey, we're going to put our phones down for this set period of time because it's so easy to be distracted by our phones right now. And this, like, I can't tell you how many days my phone's died at 4 in the afternoon because, you know, you have to work from it. You spend your off time on it anyways. But being intentional with putting our phones away, cooking and eating together and just having fun in the midst of that. And, not forgetting, like, it's so cheesy and cliche to say, but like, we really are still dating. Like, mm-hmm. I want to make sure like we're always, I don't know how it sounds coming across the computer screen, but like, we're still flirty, you know, we're still having fun with each other. We're still surprising each other. And one thing we talked about the other day is like, we want to pretend like every week is still our first week together where it's like, I'm so excited to be with you. I'm so excited to be around you. I'm so excited to see you. And even when, you know, we've learned that love is a choice for sure throughout this relationship. But it helps when you have the days where we have to separate and one of us is downstairs, one of us is upstairs, but choosing, you know, continually to choose love, it just kind of washes away all of the hard times.
Which is usually about laundry. Yeah. Not making it in the laundry basket.
Laundry, leaving plates or cups somewhere they shouldn't be left.
Yeah.
You know, all the simple things, but.
Yeah. Right. Ooh, now shots fired. Shots fired.
A little bit for the record.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Yeah. It's cool to see how being intentional, and especially like finding new creative ways to be intentional right now in this season, how exciting that's made our relationship in the simplest ways, but also like still intentionally spending time apart with our friends through, I mean, she was on a FaceTime call with her friend for like 2.5 hours the other day. And it was great. Cause we both just like gave each other time to be solo and to be by ourselves. And then, when it was over, it was nice to like, it turned into us having another 2-hour conversation about their conversation and, still being intentional with being independent in our own time.
Yeah. Very cool. As you've, I mean, for the most part, it seems like you've been able to turn something that's negative, you know, a less than ideal circumstance into something positive. Are there things that you would maybe say to other couples who are maybe wrestling with what they've lost in this? How would you encourage them, whether they also had to move their wedding date or postpone it? Maybe they can't get married now, you know, maybe family's too far and so it's not worth waiting, you know, or it is worth waiting for family to come, or whatever their situation might be. How would you encourage couples in their relationship in this time?
I think, like, I shouldn't say this is my own idea, like your mom told me a lot, but when we decided to elope but like postpone the party, I was at first just gonna be like, I'm totally fine, this is what happens. And I was like I skipped a step, I think, of like grieving. And it was like Debbie and Katie who told me like, it's okay to grieve this. And like, you can be bummed. And like, I remember I came to my mom and I was like, it's not fair. And I just cried. And she was like, yeah, that's okay. Like, it's not fair and it sucks. But after you are mad about it, I think like, lean in. That's all you can do is like, the Lord knew this was going to happen and he purposely designed our wedding this way for us to minister to other couples, minister to each other. Like, this has given us a chance to do something and talk about it. And I think it's been a theme a lot in our relationship of like, expectations are for Jesus and not for yourself. So yeah, I guess just like, it's okay to grieve and it's okay to be frustrated because it's not fair. Like, that stinks for you. But it is good, and there is fruit that's going to come from it, and you can cry, and you can call me. We can cry together.
Yeah, that's great.
I think one thing my dad has taught me since I was pretty young is there's certain circumstances that you can and can't control. So yes, like grieve, be sad, but also choose to take it for what it is. And it's going to make it a whole lot easier if you choose to be happy during it than if you are sad and have a bad attitude about it. I mean, that's something that I feel like I've learned a lot in life. It's just like, if you're having a bad day at work, you can choose to let it fester, or you can choose to put a smile on your face and deal with that, you know, when you go home, and not make it worse for everybody around you. And so that's conversations we had. And this feels like a less graceful answer than Liv's, but be sad, but then choose to be okay. And it's not something you can control, which is a great first step in your marriage, is that you can't control everything. And if you're someone who likes to be in control, which we both tend to be, it was really good for us to learn, like, hey, this is a great first step in, we're just going to let God do it. We're just going to trust that he's, you know, we know God is in control. And so we're just going to take it for what it is. We're still getting married. And we got to get married almost a month early, which is fantastic. Awesome. But yeah, so choosing joy, I think, was huge for us in this season too. Even like, we wanted a big reception with all the presents, and it's actually been kind of funny because now we're getting like a present a day almost, like getting, and that's like really Christmas. Exciting. It's like Christmas every day because yeah, people send you different gifts, and just being able to be thankful for that. And choosing joy in that season, because it would have been fun to have all of our gifts and just rip them all open in one day. But it almost has made us even more grateful and thankful for our friends and family that are being so generous in this season. But choosing joy has been huge for us.
A huge thank you to everyone for being a part of this episode and sharing parts of your lives with us. Make sure you share these with your friends if you found them helpful, and let them know about this episode. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have any questions, you can send them to podcast@faithchapel.cc. Until next time.